They're coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
I wanted to back him up with a pony like we always do, warm him up, and break him off by the 5/8 pole. And she did that good. Now, I told her to go in a minute if she could, as close as she could get to a minute. If she had the air, make it on the fast side instead of the slow side. And they tell me I didn't have a watch out there because I was on the pony and I wanted to get around in time to pick her up. They tell me he went in 59.99. You can't get good help nowadays. She was off a tenth of a second?
It's a good sign when you can have a sense of humor about things with a huge race like this Run Happy Travers coming up and all the pressure that Barkley Tag is feeling with this horse right now because he's so good.
Oh, absolutely. You saw that smile on his face, throwing out jokes in a very stressful week. You're right. It is a good sign. I can't wait to watch Tis the Law this weekend. I'm excited for Manny Franco. Obviously, has another chance to keep that good mojo.
Ba-dum-bum, rim shot there for Barkley Tag, who has a second career as a stand-up comedian. Can't get good help. You got to love that after the work the other morning by Tiz the Law. We'll talk Tiz the Law in just a moment. Before that, let me update you coming up in a few minutes. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Normally, we talk some jump racing with Tom on a Wednesday. Jump race today has been moved tentatively to next week. With the situation with the weather yesterday. And again, all the races are off the turf today. Do note that. But we'll still have Tom come in and talk a little bit about last weekend and maybe take a look at a couple of races today as well. A little bit later on, Brian Boyer from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. We'll get a little update on the museum and the Hall of Fame and what's up for them undergoing the renovation period right now. But top of the show, again, I'm going to talk a little Tis the Law with our friend Jack Knowlton from Saratoga Stables. The draw comes up in an hour and a half or so. We will know the field and the post positions. Tis the Law, as I said earlier, the likely favorite, but we can probably do away with likely. Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
And talk a little bit about Barclay. And I think everybody had a good laugh with you can't get help these days after the workout was a hundredth of a second off what he was looking for. Seems like he's relaxed. That has to give a little level of confidence.
It does. He has said, since he got up here, that Tiz has had three works, and every one of them was just perfect. Just what he was looking for, and couldn't be doing better. But Barkley's now getting into a shutdown mode. He told everybody over the barn this morning that this is the last day, and when I'm going to lock things up, and we got to keep this horse quiet. We got to keep him happy, and it's a big race for us coming up.
Yeah, which makes sense. As you walked on the set, you talked about this morning. Update us on what he went through this morning.
Well, this morning he just did his normal gallop on days that he doesn't work, and they took him over, put him in the starting gate, stood him over there, and backed him out, and then he went back to the barn. So just an easy morning, but just to refamiliarize himself with the gate, and he just walked in and stood there for 2 seconds and backed out and did it like a good horse.
And again, we saw a little bit of Tiz the Law on the track in the Barkley clip there, but I pulled up also the workout from last Saturday, which got high marks, certainly. As you said, he's had a number of works here. And he had the big win up here last year, and we had you in off of that win because we knew the horse had something special off of that career debut win up here. But since then, with the track renovation, it's now essentially a new surface there. And clearly, given the workout last Saturday and what he's done earlier, he has taken to the new surface.
No question about it. I've heard nothing but good things from horsemen about this surface. And certainly, he's proven that, he's won at Belmont, he won, twice down at Gulfstream, he's won here, so I don't think track matters a lot to him, to be honest with you. The only time he lost, he got a real sloppy track and got boxed in down in Churchill, you know, and Manny said it was a trip, not the track that got him beat that day.
Yeah, and I said after that race, you know, it was an off track. He was in some traffic. I've always been a fan, and when he came back down in Florida, I said, you know what, I'm looking at that Churchill race. It's actually maybe beneficial. He got maybe something a little out of that, and that's the way it is. Panned out here, and as we see him working last Saturday, again, came out of this the last real prep for the Travers, and again, there was high marks. What were the opinions of the team on this one?
We were very pleased. It turned out, you know, Barkley wanted it in a minute, and I usually follow Robin around, you know, with the work, and they have a walkie-talkie that she can communicate with Heather, and that morning, the walkie-talkie wasn't working. So typically, you know, if they go a little too slow or a little too fast at first part of the work, she'll radio and, you know, give some instructions. And but I'll tell you, Heather is just such a great exercise rider. She's got a clock in her head better than a lot of jockeys, I think, because she came in, depending upon which clocker you listen to, either a hundredth of a second or 600ths of a second off 1 minute. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right. And again, a really nice work. He's looking very good. And as you say, going out for just the daily gallops has kept looking good as the week has progressed. And I noted our friend Tim Wilkin had in his column the other day, reached out to Bob Baffert. And Bob Baffert commented on Tislelaw's final work the other day. I'm quoting now from Baffert. I watched it, and I was trying to knock him to find something wrong with it. I couldn't. He has been brilliant. That's to feel good when Baffert, when the competition is calling you brilliant.
Well, it does, but, you know, we all remember, I think, what Arrogate did not that long ago, that Bob Baffert sent in a horse. I think he'd had four starts, and all he did was romp. I think he won by 11 lengths and set a record. So, you know, you got to be a little leery of Uncle Chuck. Got a lot of respect for Bob, but, you know, as I say, I wouldn't trade spots with anybody. I think Tiz is coming into this race in great order. He's got experience. He's won at you know, a mile and an eighth twice. And you just watch his gallops, and actually you watch like the finish of the Belmont. And everybody, you know, talks about, well, if he were to go on and win the other two Triple Crown races, it should be an asterisk. He shouldn't really count it. He didn't run a mile and a half. But I would say back to them, you know, anybody who watched that race that thinks if that race was a mile and a half and he wouldn't have won it, I'd like to have that argument. Barkley actually wanted it to be a mile and a half.
And in fact, I pulled up the stretch run to the Belmont, so why don't we take a look at that and just kind of go back and reminisce a little bit. We were all down the street at Pinnell's for that one with the Sacatoga watch party. That was a lot of fun to be there that day with you guys. And I was kind of standing behind the monitor and watching all of you react, and so I could kind of tell what was happening from your reaction. About this point, everybody started to stand up. Tislelaw's number 8 horse, Dr. Post number 9, Max Player, who will be back on Saturday, the number 3. But just give me your memories of, as they say, the watch party over Pinnell's, and here you are taking what is the first leg of a different Triple Crown this year.
Yeah, well, we were confident going into the race. When he drew the 8 post, I was real happy about that. As we know, he likes to be outside horses. And, you know, the trip right from the beginning of the race when he got into 3 path, I just thought that he was going to be a winner. And, you know, when Manny set him down, he performed. So, you know, I'd love to see the same trip. It's basically the same trip he had in the Florida Derby. So if we can get that, we would be very, very happy.
Yeah, there's the team there. Give us a little update. We were at the NBC Suites last week, and you and the Sacatoga folks have kind of set up shop in one of their ballroom areas for the meet, as you normally are at the track most every day, but a little bit of a different situation this year. So talk a little bit about the game plan this season at Saratoga with the Embassy Suites, and what's the game plan going to be on Saturday?
Well, you know, last year I was at the track 39 out of the 40 days, the year before 40 out of 40. So, you know, missing the track is a big deal for me. So, you know, I didn't want to be, you know, sitting home watching TV alone, so I worked with Embassy Suites. They made available, you know, half of their ballroom, and every day we have part of the Sacatoga crew that goes in there, and we've got a big watch party set for Saturday. We socially distancing, we can only have 49 people in there, and I've got that maxed out, and we're going to be in the bar where you're going to be broadcasting from. We'll have some tables in there, too. So we're looking forward to it. And then, you know, fortunately, 12 of us will get a chance to come over and actually see the race in person, which to me is a really big deal. We weren't able to do it with the Belmont. We weren't able to do it with the Florida Derby. So at least having, you know, about a third of our members being able to be here, we're really excited about that.
Get to watch the race and, hopefully into the winner's circle, and a little bit different than, you know, being a Pinellas for the Belmont Stakes. So when they announced that owners would be allowed at the track, I'm sure a lot of folks were looking forward to it. But with a horse in the Travers, certainly that has to be a big deal. Give us a little information on Saratoga itself, and at Funny Side, and now here we are years later, you have another potential Kentucky Derby favorite, and give us kind of the mission of Saratoga and what you shoot for. And I know one of the things is you look for New York breds.
We've only bought one non-New York bred in our history, so we're all about New York breds. We love the breeding program here. We love the opportunities to race against New York breds. We love the stakes programs. And back when we got started, you know, New York breds were pretty affordable. And a lot of that has changed. I mean, many years ago, back in the Funny Side days, and probably for 5 or 10 years after that, the big outfits weren't looking to buy New York breds. When you look at the auctions today, and you look who's buying and who's spending a lot of money, it's not, you know, the Saratoga kind of folks. It's some of the biggest players in the industry. So that's changed a lot. We actually, at the Fazzie Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale, two-year-old sale, about a month ago, we stepped out and bought the most expensive horse we've ever bought, a Tonalist filly. And we've got two Lauban, one colt and one filly. So we've got three two-year-olds up here with Barkley. We're hoping the Lauban colt may be able to run up here and the other two this fall. So we're staying in the game. Whenever we buy a horse, we're hoping that it might be a horse that could run in a New York Stakes program. And that's kind of the ceiling that that we're shooting for. Unbelievably, fortunately, second time we get a horse like Tizala that you certainly couldn't have anticipated would happen. We never dreamed it would happen. I thought once in my life having Funny Side, that was, you know, the ultimate. But this guy, we'll see. He's still got a lot to do to catch up to Funny Side, winning a Derby and a Preakness, but he's already won the Belmont, and we didn't get that done with Funny Side.
And talk a little bit about, because I've seen some of the articles, you've been all over the place this week, and I've seen some of the articles that talk about, you know, quote-unquote redemption, given the situation with Funny Side, who was headed to the Travers his year, and then just came up with a ding a couple days before the race, which had to be completely frustrated. So talk a little bit about how important and how much fun it'll be to have a horse in the Travers this weekend.
Well, you know, as I've said to a lot of people that, you know, the second biggest disappointment I had in the whole Funny Side run was not being able to run in the Travers. I mean, obviously not winning at Belmont and winning a Triple Crown was the biggest one. But, you know, everybody was hyped. I mean, it was going to be, you know, the rubber match between Empire Maker and Funny Side. I think they ended up, I read somewhere, there was 66,000 people there, even when both of those horses had to scratch on Wednesday. I mean, it was such an anticipated race. People made plans, you know, months or weeks ahead of time. But he got sick. He really got knocked out going to the Haskell. It was very high temperature down there and high humidity, and he had breathing issues, as we know. And on Wednesday, Barkley said, you know, he just can't make it. He's sick.
And again, that kind of thing happens, unfortunately. And, it was. I remember that. As a fan, I was looking forward, and it was a disappointment as a fan, too, but certainly looking forward to Saturday and Tis the Law. Give us a little, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. How did you become a racing fan?
You know, the first time I ever went to a race was my senior year of college. I graduated from Ithaca College and went to a harness track at Vernon Downs with my roommate. And, enjoyed that, and we bet a few bucks. And I did my graduate work at the University of Albany and moved into Albany that summer. Got married that summer, and my wife Dorothy, she had an uncle who had a girlfriend, and all they did was gamble. I mean, they brought us to the harness track, the flat track, Green Mountain. They were running thoroughbreds there, and that got me started. Really enjoyed, the gambling part, not gambling a lot of money, because I didn't have a lot of money at all. Then I worked in the legislature with a couple of guys, and they were involved in harness racing to a small extent. And we put $500 a piece in, bought a horse. That didn't go too well. The horse never even made the races at the harness track. But I persevered and ended up hooking up with Frank Coppola Jr., who won almost 6,000 races as a driver here, just recently retired. He was training back then, and we put together what we called a breakfast club stable. There were five guys, and we named it because we'd go to breakfast on Saturdays together. And we actually had some success. In 1993, we had the Horse of the Year here, a three-year-old that won the final of the Pepsi Series, a $30,000 race, which was the biggest race that you had at Saratoga other than the Sire Stakes. So that really got me very involved in racing, and we have, you know, three, four horses at a time, and they run every week. So it was a big social thing. We had friends, we'd come over to the races, and I was hooked. And then we had, you know, one of my partners passed away, another one moved to Texas, and there was a lot of issues with the track at that point. There was a horseman strike, you may remember, and I decided it was time to get out. And the following year, I was up in Sackett's Harbor, and five high school friends and I put in $5,000 apiece and bought our first thoroughbred. We named Sackett Six, and Sackatoga Stable comes from those two names, and put our school colors, maroon and gray diamonds, and here we are, second chance to you know, do some real good on the big scene.
Yeah, excellent. And I kind of started over at the harness track myself when I was a kid. I used to go over there pretty much every night in the summer and play along. So I guess that's the story for a lot of people up in this area. But, Jack, appreciate the visit this morning. Again, we will know in an hour and a half or so the field, the post positions. Really looking forward to Saturday and wishing you and everybody a lot of luck with Sackatoga and Tisdale.
Yeah, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
That's the game plan. Jack Knowlton, Sackatoga Stables, Tisdale, really looking forward to Saturday. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Tom Law, Saratoga Special. We'll talk a little racing this afternoon. We'll get some thoughts on the weekend racing, all of that right after this. Stay tuned. No track, no problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more.
It. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thanks again to Jack Nolan, and good luck. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend with Tis the Law in the Traverse on Saturday. Happy to be joined now by our friend Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Usually we have him in on Wednesday to talk a little jump racing. Unfortunately, that changed up a little bit yesterday. We'll get an update on that. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How are you today?
Pretty good. Give us the update, because it came out pretty much yesterday afternoon. I think they could see what the situation was with the hurricane remnants passing over us. And as I understand it, today's first race tentatively moved to next week. Is that the game plan?
That's correct. Yeah, they sort of were proactive in making the decision. The NSA and NYRA kind of came together and made that decision a couple days ago, actually, knowing what was going to happen. Tropical storm Isaias obviously rolled through here yesterday, as I'm sure you've been talking about. Left a lot of rain, condition of the grass course, so they moved it. The race, there was already a race, a two other than allowance race scheduled for Wednesday, jump race, so they're going to move it to actually Thursday, from what I understand. Not sure if that's completely finalized, but that's the plan right now.
And I'm kind of assuming part of that is also the new protocol with the jockeys. And the jockeys, you know, the jump jockeys having one or two races a week are pretty much in and out. And with the protocols, it's heavily bubbleized, for lack of it, that's any kind of a word. And I'm sure probably, you know, with the chance of coming up here and making that decision anyway, probably best to do it a day ahead of time so these guys aren't traveling.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one thing I think we saw last year at the meet, when we had the really, really warm day and they knew it was going to be warm, when they canceled a little bit, several days out, that worked really well. I mean, Everybody was able to plan. I can't say for sure that that's why they did it in this case, but, you know, the combination of that, the combination of the protocols related to COVID, like you talked about, you know, make it a lot easier, you know, to get those guys up here. Maybe the horses weren't up here. I think some of the horses probably were up here, but not all of them, perhaps. So, it worked out, hopefully.
So, again, tentatively, that race gets moved to next week so that the full contingent of jump races at this point will go. Give us a little update, too, because when you sat down, you noted Saratoga Special. We've talked about it every week when you've been in. It's a little bit different this year with an online version. And typically it'll be Wednesdays and Saturdays, but this week a little bit different, as you guys were hit by the hurricane remnants.
We were. So we worked away all the last several days with plans to produce our normal issue on Wednesday. We're doing Wednesdays and Saturdays this year, digital editions. And we were working. It was about 8 o'clock or so, and I had been in touch with Joe Clancy down at our home office in Fair Hill throughout the day, and he was like, my internet just kicked out, now my power's out, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna he unplugged a couple computers, brought a server back, brought it home, then his internet at home kicked out. Sean had power and internet in Virginia. I did here, thankfully, but I kept thinking maybe I'll lose it eventually, so I was feverishly working to try to get everything done as quick as I could. And actually we were in really good shape for everything. We had like everything done. There wasn't anything to be written by, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock, which is unheard of almost for us. So that was great, but we couldn't get it done.
I was going to say 6 or 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So Joe called me about 8:30 and said, do you think we should maybe hold off? He's like, you know, he was trying to upload photos and pages, you know, using a hotspot with his phone. It's just impossible. You know, he's probably going to like short circuit the thing out. So, you know, we laughed.
It looks over, it's in flames.
Yes, if we were doing a print edition, we probably could have rallied and we just would have probably worked all night and just it would have been slow and it would have taken forever. But given the current situation, we can do a digital. We said, well, let's just roll it back on Thursday. So we put a couple preview-type stories, handicapping selections, on our website, thisishorseracing.com. So we got that stuff on there, preview of the Summer Colony, we got the handicapping picks, a little update on the stable tour, and then we just shifted everything back. So we'll have some preview for Thursday, Friday races coming up, and also, obviously, recap a big weekend of the Whitney. So a day later, but, you know, hopefully, again, like I've been preaching all meet, you know, maybe half as many issues, but twice as good, so maybe a day later, but maybe even that much better than Wednesday.
Yeah, and you're headed over the draw, right? So there'll be a little coverage on the Travers draw.
Right, so we'll have Travers draw in there. I mentioned that to Joe last night, and he's like, oh, well, that's great. Yeah, you know, we'll have that.
So again, this is horseracing.com. That's where you're going to go this year and click on that special banner and you get the nice digital versions. And I should note also, we've said it every time you've been here. Selections are up every day at the website, and I'm feeling pretty good. I have 49 wins. I think I'm right with Shapazian, and I'm right with you too.
Yeah, I think we're really close, right? I don't think Shapazian has 40 or 49 or 50, does he?
I didn't see after Sunday, but I have 49 after Sunday. He was a little bit ahead of me going into Sunday.
So he managed one winner on Saturday, and that was he got put up on the DQ at Cross Border. That was his only winner.
That might have been my only.
For the longest time, I'm not bragging or rubbing it into his face by any means. I had two winners that day. I got taken down on Saddler's Joy. I would have had three. So that was like his only really slow day. I think he's got me by two going into today, which is the start of week four, which is pretty good. I was like, whoa.
That's exactly what I thought. Well, yeah. I'm in the ballpark here. This is interesting. And we'll talk a little handicapping in a couple of minutes. We'll take a look at today's stake. Before we do that, though, let's go back and get some thoughts because, again, great coverage in the special of all the stakes action. Let's go back to last weekend. We'll pull up a replay of the Whitney. Obviously, things changed right at the start with Tom's d'Etat stumbling. That left Improbable in a good spot. And Improbable, who I have never totally been convinced with, and so I was taking a shot against, although I said, you could make a case for any of the five in here. So it wasn't like a shock that Improbable won. I just, you know, was kind of looking in different directions. But Improbable gets it done nicely in here. It's Baffert coming to Saratoga. So, as I say, no shock. The storyline, obviously, though, was the start for Tom's d'Etat.
Absolutely. I mean, Tom's d'Etat, you saw it just with the break. I mean, there's the story of the race, in my opinion. You know, Improbable was a bit of a bad actor. I read some reports that said that he acted up a little bit. I was like, that horse did not act up a little bit. He acted up a lot. Obviously caused a little bit of unsettling in the race. If you watch the head-on again, by my standards, who is to his inside, he breaks a little bit slow, too. Not quite as bad as Tom's d'Etat. Obviously, he took the worst of it. And, you know, this is not his natural running style. He wants to maybe be up in it a little bit. You know, Improbable is going to be look very tough from here. They go 49 and change to the half. Logically, you think maybe Mr. Buff is going to back out of it, and then this horse is going to be hard to run down, even though, by my standards, Code of Honor, Tom's d'Etat, super quality horses. But Improbable, grade one winner himself. Coming off a grade one win. He sort of seems to be putting it together in his races now. You know, he's going to be tough for me. He gets the jump on him, and, you know, Code of Honor is kind of spinning his wheels here, trying to make up ground. Just not enough pace, almost like similar to his run in the Breeders' Cup Classic, just not enough pace in the way the track
is
playing.
Given that, though, the, as you say, Code of Honor, who is usually one that closes, maybe the finish, as opposed to Code of Honor, the finish at Tom's d'Etat, maybe it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I thought he showed a lot of courage here, kind of running a little bit late. He is gaining on the winner a little bit, you know, and gets himself up into third. I was a little, you know, after it happened, I thought, ugh, you know, like this, it's so bad when something like that happens. I like the horse, you know, I'll admit it. I picked him, but I like him too. I've written about him for years now, and Al Stahl and I have become friends, and I have great respect for him, and, you know, felt sorry for the horse. And I was worried after the race. Sometimes when you see horses stumble like that, they might jar themselves, grab a quarter, suffer some kind of injury or something. I stopped by the barn and talked to Al Monday and Tuesday, and he said things were good. And I saw him again today. The horse trained today. All good, Al said. So, you know, all systems are go. I think the horse is going to head back to Kentucky early next week. And from what I, you know, he didn't say it. He didn't confirm it, but it sounds like they might just train him up to the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is about a two-month gap. Yeah. He's run well with some spacing in his races before, so that could be tough in there. Improbable is going to be tough too. I mean, if he keeps improving,
just be finding himself. Yeah, now. There's no question about it. The last two kind of point in that direction. Let's take a look a little earlier on the card, the Personal Ensign, and this was one that an upset. Obviously, you and I think talked, or it might have been on Thursday where I was talking about this race. And I thought Vexatious was interesting as a barometer horse. Mm-hmm. Having finished second last time to Monomoy Girl, we may get a line through Vexatious as looking at both Midnight Bishu and Monomoy Girl. And we got more than a line through with Vexatious getting it done under Midnight Bishu. They have the
stretch duel, but Midnight Bees, you just can't get by, and Vexatious gets it done in here in a little bit of an upset. A couple races later, Steve Asmussen had the winner, and one of the folks in the press said, you know, just talk a little bit about Midnight Bees. He said, well, if we're going to get beat, let's get beat here at this point in the season and then regroup and come back. But, again, nice stretch duel, but Midnight Bees, you just can't get by Vexatious.
Well, Vexatious, you mentioned it. She's a good sort of barometer horse. She runs well against Monomoy Girl. And I look back to her race last year up here where she ran really well to Blue Prize. And you talk about a really super quality mare. Blue Prize and Monomoy Girl, no offense to Midnight Bisu, who is phenomenal and she's done great, but maybe if you look at a bigger picture, would you have ranked Midnight Bisu ahead of those two at any point? I'm not sure. I mean, Blue Prize beat her in the Breeders' Cup Distaff at Santa Anita, which used to be her home track. Monomoy Girl, of course, you know, they're from the same crop, and you know, most people believe Monomoy Girl was probably better than Midnight Bisu. So Vexatious actually fit pretty good. I looked at her race. I'll admit I didn't pick her in there just because I thought, Midnight Bisu, she's going so well right now. Steve's got her great, and I still think she's, you know, obviously the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Distaff going forward. But Vexatious, you know, improving kind of horse. She's an interesting horse. Jack Sisterson's having a heck of a run. It was a part of a huge day for him, for sure. Joe Clancy caught up with him this week. We got a really kind of a cool story about her. I wish it was in today's paper so people could queue it up. But tomorrow you can queue it up. It's a pretty neat story. Joe actually talked to him for quite a while about his history, and like Jack was a former Division I soccer player and has a great background for sports and how he's tied together sort of his sporting background with racing. But Vexatious, you know, I mean, give her credit. I mean, she's a mare that's run long on the grass, and now she's won a grade one on the dirt at Saratoga. I mean, give her all credit.
You know, it's a little bit disappointing that we didn't see the pop eye-popping performance from, you know, Midnight Bisu, but I think we're now seeing Vexatious is a pretty nice horse, and she's going to be a player in that division, certainly as the year goes along. And now it's going to be interesting to see what Monomoy does in La Troyenne, and then look for all three of those to match up down the road, perhaps. All right, let's get a little look at today's stakes race. As I said earlier, you can find Tom's selections at thisishorseracing.com every day, along with John Serpazian and a couple other handicappers as well. But you're having a nice meet so far, certainly, so I thought we'd get some ideas on the Summer Colony. Field of six at this point. Haven't seen any scratches yet, but I went 1, 4, 2, and 3. We talked about this race earlier. I wasn't sure what to do with Bolera. Nona Madeline is a horse that showed some potential earlier in the career, maybe getting back to that now as a four-year-old. But I pulled up, going back to last year, the Shoe V up here at Saratoga. Golden Award is going to be the number three horse, gets it done. So has a little affinity for the track. The question mark, these horses are always tough, the horses that are eased or walked off last time, but it happened for this horse four races ago and came back and won subsequently, and a nice little workout leading into this. So I looked around, but I landed on Golden Award. What are your thoughts on the Summer Colony?
So I liked her. I picked her second. I typically like horses that have run well up here in the past. Obviously, I think the track is a little bit of a different surface maybe than what it was last year, but the horses are that favorite here, typically run well here, and she's a good one. I picked Bellera, who won here last year.
Picked her too.
Going the two turns.
I wasn't sure what to do exactly.
I know. She's, you know, you can draw a line through maybe the grass race, Gulfstream, kind of weird setup there. But her race at Delaware was pretty good. I mean, Dunbar Road is real quality. Only beaten four lengths by her. You know, Johnny gets back on. He rode her in the Comley. You know, she's pretty effective at two turns. The same can be said about Golden Award. You know, a real toss-up for me. The fact that she's sort of eased and walked off in those races, I read a story Dave Grenning wrote in the Racing Forum about her, and just some days I guess she just isn't feeling it. You know, so a guy like Bill Mott is just the guy to maybe figure a horse like that out. After she did it a second time, I thought, oh boy, you know, but that's what she does. I mean, she's a neat mare, and she's tough. I mean, she's her race in the Shoe V, of course, I'll never forget the last year's Shoe V. That was like the monster 13 race card, like the day after the day we had to cancel because of the heat. And I think she was the very last race of the day.
Race 13.
I remember covering it and talking to her owner and Jane Lyon at Summerwind Farm, just a great lady and loves her mares and just has a great breeding program. And I thought maybe she might go to the Broodmare Band this year. But they brought her back, and I think for races like this and for other spots maybe down the road, could see her maybe using a race like this to go on to something like the Spinster at Keeneland or something else at Belmont.
Yeah, this does have kind of a prep feel to it, certainly. Mm-hmm. Belera, also with the 3-for-5 record over the mile and an eighth. I'm going to be interested to see what she does because, as I say, I was a little dicey. You liked her. Mike Callahan earlier on the Indy Capping Show liked her. I'm interested to see what she does. Tom, always appreciate the visit. Next week, maybe we'll be able to talk a little jump racing again. And as we said earlier, jump race for today canceled. We'll kick things off with race number 2 at 1:20, and all the races are off the turf. But it's going to be a nice barometer of the new drainage system, I think. How fast will the fast come up on the tow board?
Man, it was pretty fast today. I mean, they harrowed it this morning, first thing.
That's what Zach Nolan said before he sat down. He said Barkley had a couple of sets out. Normally, if the track was off, he wouldn't. And so
you would not have known that it had rained as much as it did if you just sort of dropped in here from Mars or something.
It's it's getting raved, the new surface.
Yeah.
Tom, appreciate the visit. Again, this week's edition, normal Wednesday edition, they can look for tomorrow.
That's right. This is horseracing.com. You can find it right there. Sign up for our email list. Sign up for our Readers Club. You get an early look at the edition.
I meant to do the Readers Club. I want the Gator. You get the Gator.
I haven't gotten the Gators yet. They're allegedly
that's okay. I can wait
in transit from Fairhill. So hopefully they weren't lost in the power outage, too.
Very good. Tom, appreciate the visit.
Absolutely.
Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. We will take a break. We'll be joined by Brian Bouillet from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. Get an update on where they are with renovations and more. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thank you. I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
Seth, you do a great job too, so thank you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate watching your show every day.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Brian Bouye from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. Brian, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you on because I'm sure a lot of folks who are in town this summer have driven by the Racing Museum, and I thought we would take this opportunity to kind of just update folks on where you are. I know there are renovations going on and whatnot, and so for folks who, again, have driven by or maybe gone to the website and seen things are kind of under construction, as it were, and as we talk about this, I also pulled up from the website part of that video with the blueprint kind of look of the new meeting room and movie room, as it were, and so maybe we'll look at that as you're talking, but just talk a little bit about the renovation to the museum and give us an update on the calendar for that.
Sure. Yeah, we were hoping to open on July 16th when Saratoga Racecourse opened. That was the plan, but obviously the COVID pandemic changed everybody's plans, and you know, we'd lost about 10 weeks of construction time because of that. But we are back working on it, and we've made a lot of great progress installing the new theater in the Hall of Fame, the new interactives, all of our new exhibits, and we're hoping to be able to announce something in the next couple weeks. We're hopeful that we can get open perhaps by Labor Day weekend. That's kind of our best case scenario right now. We're not too far off. The progress has been great. Everything's coming along outstanding, and we're hoping that Labor Day weekend could be our target, but that's definitely a little bit tentative right now.
And we're watching, as I say, the video I pulled off the website, and the folks go to the National Museum of Racing website. You click on the video, Hall of Fame Education Experience, narrated by Tom Durkin, and you can get a look at what the game plan is. I assume maybe you've walked around a little bit, and how is the renovation going? I can't wait to take advantage of what we're showing right now, the kind of movie experience.
It's really exciting. Yeah, we're pretty close to having that part of the experience ready. We've had a few of our board members and some people in the industry that have been able to come in and get a preview of the film and kind of the sensory experience of it all. And the film is just done incredibly well. We worked with Donna Lawrence Productions, and she's done signature films for numerous institutions, including the Kentucky Derby Museum, the College Football Hall of Fame, the Clinton Presidential Library. So she's been doing these sort of projects throughout the country for a number of years. And we recorded video in absolutely super high definition, 8K resolution, new interviews with, you know, Hall of Famers at different racetracks, and we captured scenes at different tracks and on various farms. And the story is about, you know, what it takes to get into the Hall of Fame. And it's just beautifully shot, and the sensory experience is incredible. And combine that with the new interactives that we're doing for all the Hall of Fame plaques, and we're really excited to show it off. We can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. As a fan, I was happy with the museum before, and this is going to be a new and upgraded experience. I am really looking forward to it. And you're going to have a new website as well.
Yeah, we have a great relationship with the Jockey Club, and probably at the end of this summer as well, we will be launching an updated website. Just kind of refreshed a lot of things on there, give it a new look. But the Hall of Fame pages on there will have some more depth and detail that weren't on there previously. So we really wanted to take the opportunity, along with upgrading the museum and turning into a real interactive experience for visitors, to be able to, you know, upgrade the website as well. So we got a lot of exciting things going on here.
And just fill us in again for folks who maybe aren't familiar. Certainly fans, dedicated fans, realize the situation and have read about it over the past couple of months. But the 2020 class was selected for the Hall of Fame and includes Mark Cassie and Wise Dan. But the decision was made, obviously, given the situation, that they would be inducted and included next year with the class of 2021. But just give us an update on that situation with the class of 2020.
Sure. This Friday, August 7th, would have been the date for our Hall of Fame ceremony. And we traditionally hold it over at Fasig Tipton here in town. And it's a wonderful event. And, you know, obviously this year, you know, because of social gatherings and the state rules and following all the CDC guidelines, we weren't able to have it this year. And, you know, we had some discussion about doing it as a virtual event or something like that, but we just decided that, you know, the Hall of Fame induction is a special day for those people and the connections there. So they want to be there in public. They want to be there with their friends and the people that supported them throughout their careers. And we decided that it has to be an in-person ceremony. So we're going to combine it with next year's inductees and turn it into one big incredible celebration of the class of 2020 and the class of 2021. So next August, the class of this year, 7-member class, kind of headlined by Mark Cassie and Wise Dan and Daryl McCard, they're going to be enshrined in the typical way that we always do instead of any sort of official presentation.
Yeah,
so next August we'll be back online with all that.
You made the right decision. I know talking to Mark Cassie over the past couple of months, he was happy with that. So, as you say, could bring the friends and family and do it properly and get the accolades they deserve after a Hall of Fame-type career. So it was the right decision given the situation this year. Talk a little bit about what is going on event-wise with the museum now, because, again, you're under renovations, but there are still things going on. I know I participated in a Zoom seminar a month or two ago. Those have been kind of ongoing. So talk a little bit about what the museum is currently doing as far as events.
Yeah, obviously we still want to stay connected with racing fans and our audience and our members and everything. So, like everybody else, we've embraced the Zoom technologies and other sort of online offerings. We've been offering occasional programs like that throughout the summer. Before the meet, I had the guys from the Saratoga Special on. I had the Clancy Brothers and Tom Law. Nice discussion about the meet and kind of the challenges of covering it and everything. We recently had a program with our curator, Victoria Reisman, talking about what exhibits in our collections are going to be showcased when we reopen. And this Friday, Mike Veach and I are going to do a Travers preview panel at 1 p.m. And you can find all of these programs. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can register for all of them there and learn about what our offerings are. So we've got other ones that are programmed for children and families. We're going to have a couple others later in the meet, bring authors on to talk about their book projects, some other people in the industry. But our next one is this Friday. We're going to look at the Travers Stakes featuring the big guy there, Tiz the Law.
And again, that's Friday with our friend Mike Veach. So folks can certainly swing by there. And I'm just pulling up. Folks can also follow your Twitter feed. NMRHOF is the Twitter feed. NMRHOF, National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame. The letters there. And you'll alert folks to the events via the Twitter account as well. Brian, appreciate the visit and the update. And as I say, looking forward to the announcement and when we can get over and check out the new Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. It really looks like it's going to be an exciting upgrade. And again, we'll keep folks abreast of some of the events that are coming up as well. But appreciate the time.
Thanks, Seth. I appreciate you having me on. Take care.
Brian Boyer from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. And again, check out their Zoom event coming up on Friday. Brian will be with our friend Mike Veach talking a little Travers. That's this Friday. And as I say, their Twitter feed covers all of the events as well. NMRHOF is their Twitter handle. I do want to alert you. Last week we had Humberto Chavez in from the chaplaincy, and they talked about their event, their fundraising event. Normally it would be the jockey basketball game this time of year. Obviously can't hold that this year, but they're going to have a virtual kind of town hall, and which happens tonight. And you can go to their website and link to that. Ramon Dominguez will be there, Terry Finley, Dale Romans, Tom Durkin. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll give you an opportunity to maybe donate some money to chaplaincy. You did great work throughout this pandemic period. Again, go to the Racetrack Chaplaincy website, rtcany.org. Type New York Racetrack Chaplaincy into Google. You'll find it. But that's tonight for their fundraising program, that virtual Champions Talk. Also, we had Michael Dubb and Libby Imperio in last week talking about the virtual party to benefit the Belmont Child Care Association. That happens all week long. Check out that at the Belmont Child Care site, belmontchildcare.org. Keep that in mind. Again, a couple of really great charities that really benefit the backstretch workers and worth taking a look at. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. We're going to head over to the front side and try to catch a little bit of the the draw this morning, and hopefully plug that into some of tomorrow's show. So keep in mind, first race today has been canceled tentatively. The jump race moved to next week. So things will start today with race two at 1:20, and all the races are off the turf on this Wednesday afternoon. Keep that in mind. Otherwise, enjoy the races this afternoon. Cash some tickets. We'll see you back here from our Saratoga set tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Report.
Been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.